now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Life from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, and the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, live and local on location at the Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. I'm your host for this half-hour excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Greetings and welcome to the program. You know, I get a lot of periodicals, journals, various brotherhood publications come my way. Some I subscribe to, others have been subscribed to for me, on my behalf. Some come to me via the brethren. They'll bring one of these publications to me. They say it's got a good article. And I read just about all of them. I would say that out of all of the publications that come my way, I'm hitting in the 95th percentile, at least. I try to make sure I at least give it a good once over. And if it's stuff that I like, then I'll hold on to it and go over it again. So I get a lot of stuff, a lot of different... for example, Gospel Advocate. I take that particular publication. The Spiritual Sword, we actually get that here at the building, so I get that every quarter. There are the Gospel Minutes. We get that here at the building. I usually am able to breeze through that on my lunchtime, at least once a week, because that's when they come. Reason and Revelation, that's a good one. Someone subscribed to that for me here at the church, and I've been taking that for the last year. A very good publication. Put out by Apologetics Press. They've got a lot of good stuff online. Good material out there. So there's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of different publications and things of that nature that I am aware of, and that I do my best to stay abreast of. See what the some of the leading lights in the brotherhood, what they're saying about different subjects and things of that nature. I believe someone subscribed to it for me on my behalf, but I get the Seek the Old Paths publication put out by the church in McMinnville, Tennessee. And it's a very conservative publication in the brotherhood. That's my take on it. Some might not agree. That's all right. But that's my objective opinion of it. And they've published last month, it's May of 2013, the Seek the Old Paths, Volume 24, Number 5, in case you're following along, for those of you at home. They published an article by a brother who, I don't know when he passed away, but he is deceased, Richard Carlson. And at some point, he published this article, What Happened to Sin? Whatever Happened to Sin, I should say. Whatever Happened to Sin? It's a good question. It's a good question. He says he lists 12, but I only count 11. Maybe there's something wrong with the numbering or something. 11 different activities that at one time were sin, were considered sin. They were called sin. But for whatever reason, through the natural course of the evolution of language, I don't know what you want. Well, I know what it is, and I'll give you my take on this in a moment. But he says, you know, just over time, you know, sin that's been around forever, since the Garden of Eden. But these particular 11 sins have been minimalized. And we don't use the same kind of language to talk about them anymore that we once did in order to minimize the severity. We don't want to offend people, right? But, you know, the thing is, if you don't preach against... let's put it this way, isn't it? If you preach against drinking, you offend the drunkard. If you preach against stealing, you offend the thief. If you preach against fornication, you offend the adulterer. But if you don't preach against sin, you offend God, right? So I understand where Carlson's coming from here, and I understand what he's saying here. For example, here are the 11. I'm going to run through these. He gives each particular sin a treatment as to how it's been minimalized, and then he gives passages which categorically condemn that behavior. The first one, stealing. Stealing is no longer called stealing. It's kleptomania. You know, this kind of person, they just can't control themselves when it comes to taking stuff, when it comes to stealing. And so we should feel sorry for them. You know, kleptomania, that's a mental disorder of sorts, you know? So we should feel sorry for them. But he explains here, to steal, that's taking something that belongs to another. Jesus talks about the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Paul in Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no more. The penalty for stealing back in Moses' day, Exodus 21:16, POD, punishable on death. So stealing, that's one of them. You see what he's doing here. We've taken this behavior, this activity, this sinful activity, we've repackaged it, called it something else. Again, to minimalize it. Maybe I shouldn't say we, the world at large. And sometimes the brethren breathe in the secondhand smoke of the world, and what happens? We start to use their kind of language. Adultery. It's no longer adultery. It's an extramarital affair. Carlson points out that adultery is unfaithfulness to the marriage bed. The words of Christ, he points out, Matthew 19:9, you compare with Matthew 10:11, or Mark 10:11-12. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Obviously, Carlson's working with the King James, so that's the reason for the language there. But it speaks loud and clear. Matthew 5:28, I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Adultery is adultery. It's sin. Well, fornication, in a similar vein, it's no longer fornication. It's, you know, we're just dating. We're trying out a living arrangement. And it's that, you know, that kind of behavior. Hey, we're just, you know, shacking up. I think that was the language from days gone by, but it still communicates the idea. You know, it's a trial basis type thing. And it's normal. People do it without shame. They're experiment. You got to make sure you're compatible in all areas and arenas. And I do mean all. Right? That's the thinking. But God's teaching on the purity of the sexual relationship between husband and wife within the bounds of scriptural holy matrimony is sacred and timeless. Again, Matthew 19, specifically verse 6. Paul puts it this way, flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication, sinneth against his own body. But Paul says it this way, Ephesians 5, verse 3, but fornication, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Ephesians 5, 3 again. The body is not for fornication, 1 Corinthians 6, 13. So, that, you know, that's what we're dealing with. You know what, I'm going to circle back to this one. Let me go to the next one. Lying. Lying's not telling the truth, right? Well, today, lying isn't necessarily lying. It's, It's misspeaking. I misspoke. It's telling... It's a misrepresentation of the facts. You see this on TV all the time, at least I do. You know, you listen to the talking heads on TV and you don't come out and outright call someone a liar. It's just a misrepresentation of the facts. It's maybe they misspoke. Maybe, I don't know. The list could go on and on. Carlson goes on simply telling a falsehood. It's that's another way of thinking of lying today. It's freedom of expression, stuff like that. But Carlson points out freedom of speech does not give one the liberty to lie. And the scripture categorically condemns this throughout. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, Proverbs 12, verse 22. Some of the things that God hates, lying lips, Proverbs 6 there. False witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish, Proverbs 19, verse 5 and also verse 9. Homosexuality. They don't even call it homosexuality these days. It's same-sex marriage, right? I've talked about this before. It's no longer an unimaginable perversion, as Carlson points out here. It's just, it's another acceptable alternative lifestyle. But again, as... I mean, it's category. I've gone through all the passages in a previous episode. You can look that up. The biblical argument against homosexuality, a previous episode, talks about that. And Carlson gives several of them here, mostly revolving around Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and the sin that they were involved in? Cursing. Cursing is no longer inappropriate or vulgar. You know, it's just, he's got colorful speech, you know. It's colorful language. And there's nothing wrong with it, right? You just, oops, let something slip rather than realizing that it is vulgar language. Taking God's name in vain, part of that. You even probably hear some Christians. Uh-oh, now you're getting to meddling. Okay. But one of the Ten Commandments, do not take the Lord your God, don't take his name in vain. The name of the Lord thy God in vain, don't take it in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. And that, by the way, is picked up by Jesus in the New Testament. He says that's not what we're supposed to be about. Also, Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Number 8, abortion. It's not killing innocent human life. No, 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 no. You know, it's birth control. Another form of birth control. Or population control. Carlson points out this stat. He says, the United States on an annual basis kills more babies in 1 year than the number of lives lost in all the wars fought in this country's history. Staggering. Shedding innocent blood. God hates that. Look again at Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 for that. The seven things God hates that are abominations to him. Children, which are supposed to be a heritage of the Lord, Psalm 127 and verse 3, children are slaughtered. It's infanticide. God, throughout Scripture, talks about how he knows the baby while it's in the womb, and he knits them together in the mother's womb. It's a human life in there. And in America, more human lives are extinguished, snuffed out of existence. That's just an alternative form of birth control. Euthanasia. This doesn't have to do with adolescents, teenagers. over in the South Pacific, okay? Euthanasia, that has to do with mercy killings. At least, again, that's the way it's talked about. Death with dignity. Dr. Kevorkian was the one who's famous for this. He invented his death machine. It's also, again, the killing of the old or the infirm. Killing of the undesirables. The little guys who can't take care of themselves. Or the old folks. That's what we're talking about here. It's a good death. It's a death with dignity. It's just a mercy killing. That's the way it's talked about today. Carlson strikes at the principle of this thing. The principle and back of this has to do with the fact that man is formed in the image of God. He is a created being. He's a living soul. And ultimately, this is murder. Or at least assisted suicide. And when you assault, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is do not kill. Or rather, do not murder. Murder is what it is. It's the premeditation stuff. It's, why is that in the Ten Commandments? Have I talked about this before? It's because that murder, snuffing out another human life with premeditation, that is an assault on the very image of God. And that's why it's offensive to God. Genesis 2, 7, 1 John 3, verse 15, about no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him, are a couple of passages Carlson cites. He has nakedness on here. It's not immodesty, but it's freedom to do as you please. Ultimately, you know, he's striking at how typically young people, but some of their parents, how they dress up, and they're probably scantily clad. Okay? Lack of covering, lack of clothing. Running around in something skimpy. That's what Carlson is getting at here. Bible, he says, still calls it a sin. He says that 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. He also goes back to Noah and his nakedness being exposed back in Genesis. See, the guys get in on this too, not just the women. Equal opportunist here, all right? Noah's nakedness, Genesis 9, 21, 27, that was a bad thing. Bad deal. Plus, that kind of exposure may cause others to lust, cause them to sin. Lust in the heart, that's adultery. Jesus dealt with that. We've already seen that today. Now we get to a couple, and maybe you didn't like, you know, what he said there about nakedness, and, you know, it's just clothing, whatever. Okay. If you really didn't like that one, you're not going to like these next two. One, gambling. I know there are some Christians who don't see anything wrong. It's entertainment to them. It classified as entertainment. Carlson comes out and says, see, it's no longer gambling. It's gaming. You're just gaming. You're having a good time, right? It's become an investment for the future. Hey, if you strike it big, you know, put some of that cash away or something. I don't know. A few of the passages he puts, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12, 17. I think he's getting that perception there. How the world typically perceives gambling, and then a Christian involved in gambling? Yeah. I think that's what he's doing there. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Is gambling a good thing to hold on to? That's how Carlson ends this section here. If a person gambles, is that abstain from the appearance of evil? You be the judge. The last one, which if you didn't like gambling, you're really probably not going to like this one. Drunkenness. Drunkenness typically, again, so there are some Christians who engage in social drinking. You don't see anything wrong with that. It's just a drink or two. And so drunkenness, not called drunkenness, no, it's alcoholism. It's a disease. Or it's simply a drinking problem. He's got a drinking problem, you know. He keeps hitting the bottle. Can't get away from the sauce, right? Some argue drinking isn't wrong as long as one drinks, does not drink, and become drunk. It's social drinking, right? That's what we're talking about. Carlson's pretty adamant, says social drinking is sin. He says alcohol is a good remover. It will remove and destroy homes and families. It will remove money out of your pocket, food off the table, and it will remove a person's reputation. Isaiah 5, verse 11. He cites that. He says, read it. So, for Mr. Carlson, I will. Get there. Why didn't you have this open? Isaiah 5 and verse 11. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late in the evening, as wine inflames them. So that's one of the passages that Carlson cites. Others, Proverbs 23, 20 and 21, and Daniel 1, verse 8, where Daniel and his friends, they abstained from the special drink of the king, Leviticus 10, verses 8 through 11. You could look that one up. So, those are the 11 that Mr. Carlson cites. Whatever happened to sin? Now, he doesn't explain whatever happened to sin. Granted, that's not the thrust of this article. He says at the beginning, the thrust of this article is to show how so many take certain sins, give them another name, as though they can minimize the severity of it. That's what he's really getting at. You call it by something else. And when you do that, it's not as bad. Right? Rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Well, a sin by any other name is just as bad. My question is, what did happen to sin? And again, I know it wasn't Carlson's thrust. My thrust in this episode for the remaining few minutes is, what did happen to sin? I'm going to answer that in just a moment. But first, this half hour brought to you by Merced Church of Christ, located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway. The Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to see as many people as possible following Jesus as closely as possible, all for a more united fellowship. Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet every Wednesday for midweek service at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, a friendly church with a vital message. So whatever happened to sin? I'll tell you what happened to it. You can answer that question in one word: normalization. The normalization of sin. I've talked about this before in a previous episode. I should post a link. I will post a link to this on the website under this particular episode, and you can hear what I've said about that in more detail. But it ultimately has to do with bringing these dark desires into the light. And typically, rebranding them, renaming them. The language, again, it's changed. It's called something different, and therefore, it's not as bad. How do you get there? How do you normalize something? Wesley Smith calls it terminal non-judgmentalism. He says this is happening to us on several planes, several realms in America. Euthanasia is one of them. Pedophilia is another one. Ooh, people don't like to talk about that. What do you think the whole homosexual agenda is all about? It's all about ultimately bringing in and making acceptable stuff like NAMBLA. You heard about that? National Association of Man-Boy, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. That's what it is, NAMBLA. Again, people don't like to talk about that, and that's why I'm probably the least listened to podcast on the internet. because I call it like I see it. But three steps, Wesley Smith says, and again, in the previous episode, I go into much more detail about each of these. But first, it starts with that particular thing, sin, being called a sin and being absolutely unacceptable. We will not accept this kind of behavior. We will not tolerate this kind of actions and activities. It's just wrong. Always has been and always will be. And especially if we claim to be people who believe that this book here, the Bible, is the Word of God. If God said something is sin, then it's always sin. It's always wrong. But what happens, you move from that phase to the next phase, which is that these issues, which are absolutely unacceptable, they're pushed into the realm of discussion and debate. And now they are debated and discussed for their merits. This is what's happened with homosexuality in America. There was at one point when it was absolutely unacceptable, but now, with the passage of time, course of years, now it has been pushed into the realm of discussion and debate. And the potential merits of these this kind of behavior is said to be good, and it's, you know, hey, love is love, and all these other weak arguments, which I've dealt with in the past and in previous episodes, and I won't rehash those there. But the issue is debated and discussed and talked about, and marriage between these people. Hey, you know, we don't want to damage any psyches here. People have been hurting and suicide and stuff like that because they're living a different life, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's discussed and debated, and these weak, anemic, however specious, arguments are presented, and people buy into them. They want to be compassionate to these people, and hey, you know, is it really that bad? And if people love one another, they should. And so, again, discussion gives way ultimately to acceptance. From unacceptable behavior, once it's discussed and debated, and people like me are laughed to derision and scorn because I actually believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that these kinds of activities are sinful and wrong, I'm discredited as well as many other voices, and now full-blown acceptance, typically by young people who are ignorant and uninformed. Ignorant not in a derogatory manner, but they just don't know. Taboos are made to be broken. And here's the thing. Once you enter into the realm of discussion, you're on the path toward acceptability. Because that, in the discussion and debate arena, is where sin is rebranded, language is changed and presented. Homosexuality is not homosexuality. It's same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships. Pedophilia, which is where we're heading, that's going to be rebranded as well. And it's, as long as it's in a loving, acceptable relationship, hey, love is love, right? Ooh. People don't think this stuff through. Or those who have are usually the ones on the other end of this who are trying to drive this thing and push this thing into acceptability. That's what happened to sin. Sin was normalized. And all these things which Carlson talks about in this publication, the reason that they came to be rebranded and the language has changed is because they came to be normalized. That's what you see in that language. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say about this stuff. Also, find us on Facebook, the Life from the Pulpit Facebook page, and like us there. You get all the updates when I go live with the program or update the blog. Also, follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, @N as in Nick Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. And be sure and stop at the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1 John, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Be sure and cite your sources, folks. Also, check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study as well. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all, and thanks for listening.